You want water?
Amen. No, sir. No, sir. I'll be great. Amen. Preach like my beard's on fire. I don't think I've ever preached like that before, but I've never experienced that either. I'd like to keep that way, to tell you the honest truth. So, amen. Let's go ahead and I want to read one verse here in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I'm preaching a sermon on the word compassion. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36. My wife just asked me a minute ago if I know how to preach for 20 minutes. So we're going to find out. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36, the Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, pray that you'll bless this time that we have together, Lord. Pray that you'll bless the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray that you'll rest the power of your spirit upon me as I preach. Lord, help me not to say what I want to say, Lord, but what you want me to say. Lord, help me to do your will, Lord. We pray this, that hearts will be challenged, Lord, and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as I look at this passage of Scripture, I don't know about you, but I believe in the every word Bible. I believe that God, as Jesus said when he was tempted in the wilderness, he spoke to Satan. He said, "It's not by bread that man lives, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You know, man, I need every word that comes from God's mouth. You know, every word's important, isn't it? You know, the preacher last night was preaching about being sent to the grocery store by his wife or something. When my wife gives me an instruction, I kind of try to make sure I listen to every word she says. Amen? Or it's going to get me in some trouble.
Yes, sir.
All right? You know, she'll say, hey, can you pick this up when you come home? I'll go, it's almost notorious that I'll forget something from the list she gave me. So we've gone down to, she sends me a text message, and then I look at that text message, and you know what? I go over every word. You know why? It's important. All right? She wouldn't have put it on that list if it wasn't important. And I believe the Lord did the same thing when He gave us His Word. You know, when we look at things, this book's not that thick when we talk about the issues of our human life. Amen? And there's not a lot in here, but you know what? Everything that's in here is important for us. Amen? This book covers everything that we'll need to know for this human existence that we have. And every word that's inside of it's important. As I look at this passage of Scripture, I see the word that jumps out at me, and this is compassion. Jesus had a busy day that day. All right, we don't have time to go into it, but He had been plagued with people. He goes through a huge ordeal, pulls His disciples aside. When they finally get to a spot to rest, guess who shows up? More people. Amen? Preachers, we've been there before, right? We have a busy day. We think, all right, finally I get to relax, and then the phone rings. Amen? This is where Jesus was. And as Jesus looks out at these people, the Bible says He's moved with compassion. I think to myself, why did the Holy Spirit give us that word? Compassion. There's a lot of words He could have used instead of compassion. He could have said pity. You know, pity is that idea of being sorry for somebody. You know, it's easy to feel sorry for somebody when you see a rough situation that they're in. But that's not the word that He used. He could have used sorrow. Sorrow is similar to pity, similar to compassion. I would say maybe synonyms that would be used, but that's not the same meaning. The word there, compassion, is what's used. The word compassion carries three different ideas to the word compassion. The first idea that's carried in that word is the idea that I see the suffering that's happening. That's the idea with compassion. It's that I see what's going on. I recognize it, and I see what's happening. The second part of it is that I understand the suffering that's being gone through. I understand it. Not only do I see it and recognize it, but I can also relate to it. The last part that comes about is the idea that I want to do something to help the suffering. You know, pity is just basically those first two. It's feeling sorry, but I'm probably not going to do anything about it. Charity is that idea of I recognize it and I'll move, but I can't really relate to it. Compassion carries all three of those together. And he says here, and they were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. I stand before you today as shepherd with no sheep. I raised a sheep for the last year. Brother Choi can tell you about this because he comes up routinely at work because his name was Dodge. He was a little ram. I thought that was a clever name for a ram, you know, named him Dodge. And he was my sheep. Man, he was the dumbest sheep that ever lived. The dumbest sheep that ever lived. Dodge was an idiot, bless his heart. And that's what you can say when you're in the South. See, up in Wisconsin, we grew up not, you know, you just didn't say things about that. But then I came to Kentucky.
Yeah.
And in Kentucky, you can say anything you want about anybody as long as you say bless their heart at the end. You know, and Dodge was an idiot, bless his heart. All right? That's just how it was. He was an idiot. He was the dumbest sheep in the world. And you know why God gave me the dumbest sheep in the world? Because I think I'm His dumbest sheep. And God wanted me to learn some lessons. I heard a preacher tell me one. He said this one time. He said, I think every preacher ought to own a sheep. Every preacher ought to own a sheep because the lessons that they can learn from that are remarkable. Well, I bought a sheep from Hamptons when my daughter laughed for the first time. And we threw a party and we had some sheep. And on the reservation, we eat sheep all the time. A little salt over open flame. You've got a good meal going on there. And I got tired of paying for the price, so I just bought the whole sheep. And I said, I'm going to raise it. I'm going to do what that preacher had suggested. Knock out two birds with one stone. Save a little money in the process. So I went to the Amish auction over in Elkton, and I bought myself a sheep. A little red hair sheep is what he was called. Everybody thought he was a goat. And I said, he's not a goat, he's a sheep. And Dodge would get himself in all kinds of situations. And you know what? I would get a lot of feelings that would go on, but oftentimes the feeling I had was compassion.
Right.
You know why? Because I put myself where the sheep was.
Right.
How many times was I where that sheep was? I would come home from work and Dodge would have himself tangled up in the weeds. He'd gone out, and here's how I kept him. I had first built a pallet pen. My dad works at a factory where he can get a bunch of free pallets. So I screwed them all together and made a pen. That worked out just great until he ate all of the grass inside of the pen. It was just bare dirt. I came home to find his head stuck through the pallet slats. He had somehow shoved his head through the slats and then couldn't pull it back out. Because he was trying to get the grass that was on the other side. I thought to myself, man, that sounds like me sometimes.
Yeah.
Not happy where God has me and I'm trying to get something else that He doesn't have in the plan and I get myself into trouble.
Yes, sir.
I said, I can have a little compassion for Dodge. Broke the fence, took the board apart and shoved his head back through and closed it back up. That's compassion. Do you understand?
Right.
Dodge went ahead and carried on some more and I couldn't keep the grass in there. I had to do something else for him. So I attached him to a rim with a steel cable, like you'd attach a dog on a run. And I'd move that rim to wherever I wanted him to in the yard, and he would eat this circle. All the grass would be eaten. I'd pick up the rim and move it. Well, he's got all this nice green grass right here, and there's some weeds off to the side. I thought, well, he can clean all of this up, and then he'll leave those weeds alone. No, not Dodge. Instead, what Dodge wanted to do was he wanted to eat all of the weeds and leave the green grass alone. And I looked at Dodge and I got home from work and I found him all tangled up in a bunch of sumac and pokeberry trees. And I thought to myself, and I looked at him and I said, Dodge, why did you go into the weeds when you've got good grass over here? And that's when the Holy Spirit smacked me upside the head and said, why do you go into the weeds when you've got good food right here? Amen. Jesus looked at the sheep as having no shepherd, and he was moved with compassion.
Amen.
Right.
Compassion sees the suffering.
Yes, sir.
We have a Savior who is not ignorant to what we go through in this life. Aren't you thankful for that? The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all manner like we were. Man, you know what? That means Jesus knows what it's like to go through some hard temptations.
Yes,
amen?
Sir.
He knows what it's like to go through some trials and some difficulties in His life. And you know what? We're not alone in the heartache that we go through.
Right.
Isn't that encouraging?
Yes, sir.
Man, it's encouraging to know that I'm not by myself when I go through some heartache.
Amen.
That when I take my needs, you know, we sing that song. Take it to Jesus. You know, we sing about how we take all of our needs and our prayers to Jesus. And you know what? He knows what we're going through.
That's right.
He's been there. He's done it. And He did it successfully.
Amen.
Amen? Man, I can take encouragement from knowing that Jesus is moved with compassion.
Amen.
He sees the suffering.
Yes, sir.
But compassion doesn't stop there. My second point is the idea of compassion is I understand the suffering. You know, you and I, as we look at sinners, before I go to that second point, when you and I look out into this world and we see a world that's hurt and dying, as I continue along, I look at this world and I'm thinking to myself, what in the world's going on with it? Amen? Man, we're fighting about which bathroom some people use.
Yes, sir.
Who would have ever thought that would be a thing?
Right.
Amen? I mean, growing up, I never thought that we'd have confusion over what bathroom you should use.
Right.
Pretty easy. Amen?
Yep.
But nowadays, that's not the case.
Right.
And we can get upset with that, or we can do what Jesus did and say, you know what? I can see the hurt that's going on.
That's right.
You know what that is? That's the problem with people who are hurt. That's what they're looking for, the newest thing that's going on. They're looking for the newest song that's happening because they have nothing of any existence in their life because they don't have the Savior that I have. I need to be moved with compassion. I need to look and I need to see those people on the reservation. I need to see those people in Madisonville, Kentucky. I need to see those people in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, who are hurting and who need the God that I have.
Amen.
Number two, not only do we see the suffering, but we understand the suffering. Jesus, as He looked out over the people, it wasn't just that He saw what they were going through, but He knows what it's like. Amen? Man, when Jesus went ahead and dealt with the temptation in the wilderness, He didn't just see it, but He knew what it was like to be tempted. 40 days in the wilderness, no food, no water.
Right.
And the devil tempts Him with some bread.
Right.
Man, I have a hard time passing up a Mountain Dew when I see a commercial on TV. Amen? Man, they don't ever advertise a hot Mountain Dew that's been left into the truck for, 3 days. I don't have any temptation with that one. Amen? You know, that's not hard for me to say no to. But that's not how they advertise them. Amen? Man, when they do, it's somebody who reaches their hand down in this ice water and brings up this cold Mountain Dew. And it's dripping this water. Piece of ice clung to the side and slowly sliding down it. Can you picture it with me? Man, you might change the soda out there. It might be Coca-Cola or Pepsi or Diet Coke, whatever you're... But man, I have a hard time saying no to that sometimes. Jesus was tempted in all the ways like we were. Suffering and hungering in the wilderness, going through the same temptations. The same one who we fight today is the one who was fighting Him.
Right.
He's gone through that fight. And He did it successfully. He says, I don't just see the suffering that they're going through, but I understand the suffering.
Right.
I've experienced it. You know, as we go out into this world, it's pretty easy. Now that we've been saved for some amount of time, it's pretty easy to get reliant on what Jesus did like it's something that we did.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was driving to a conference one day. I was staying at a different spot. I went to go pick up our ladies at the hotel so that we could go to the conference. My wife was with the ladies, and I was staying over at a friend's house, and went to go pick them up. And as I'm driving along, I see this fellow who's walking on the side of the road. He had his pants. I don't think the boy owned a belt. I don't think he had a belt because his pants were down about here. And he had on one of those, I think the proper term for them is an A T-shirt.
Yes, sir.
But, they get that term wife beater because that's whatever the guy's wearing when he's on the news, and being thrown in the cop car. And he was wearing one of those. Had a big giant chain on his neck. He had a hat on his head that was... I don't know why it was straight. I don't understand that today.
Yeah.
The purpose of a bill on your... This is a rabbit trail. We're going to kill this rabbit and I'll come right back. The purpose on your bill on your hat is to keep the sun out of your eyes.
Right.
If it's curved, it does a better job of that. I don't understand that. But he had it on his head. It was on, and it was sideways too, which that doesn't make any sense. And it was on, and I looked at that fella as he's walking and I thought to myself, what a piece of work.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as I said it, Holy Spirit smacked me upside the head.
Yep.
You know why? Because I got to the point to where I thought I became something
right. Because
of what Jesus did.
Right.
That'd be like me taking credit for how my kids look.
Yeah.
They don't look like that because of me, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, they look like that because of my wife,
right?
All right? If they looked like me, you know, people say, oh, your family's beautiful. I said, that's because they look like their mama. Because if they all had beards like this, nobody'd want to go anywhere near them. Amen? They don't look like that because of me. All right? They look like that because of their mom. If they're good kids, it's because their mom's with them. I'm going to work for 40, 60 hours a week. It's because of their mom's hard work. But you know what? It's easy to take credit for something we didn't do, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know what? As a Christian, we get so conceited sometimes and think, well, I have arrived now because I know why God saved me. Friend, I'll tell you, I don't know why God saved me.
That's right.
I have no idea why He would save a sinner like me, but He did. Amen? And I'm thankful that as a six-year-old boy, I accepted Jesus Christ. We were having family devotions. And my mom stopped and she said, Brandon, do you know where you'd spend eternity? I remember sitting there and I told her, I don't know where I'd go. I want to go to heaven, but I don't know. And as a six-year-old boy, I hadn't run over little old ladies with my car. I hadn't robbed banks. I hadn't done anything like that. But you know what? My sin was still enough to send me to hell.
Yes, sir.
I had a split hell wide open with the sin that I'd done as a six-year-old boy because I was born a sinner.
Right.
I didn't have to do anything wrong. I was a sinner by birth.
Yes, sir.
And I needed to be born again. And so I got down on my knees. My mom showed me from my Bible how I could accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. That day, February 26, 1990, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And He's the one who started doing anything in me. He's the one who's got me to where I'm at today. Not because of what I've done. Not because of anything that I have done. And what Jesus says as He looked out on those people, He says, I understand the suffering that they're going through. I've lived the life that they've lived. I've done what they've done. And I've done it successfully.
Amen.
Jesus was moved. He said He saw the compassion. He understood the compassion. But He wanted to do something to be able to help the suffering.
Right.
As I looked at Dodge, tangled up in the weeds, all caught up, he would get himself tangled in a steel cable. How do you do that? Steel cable doesn't kink. It kind of unwinds itself. But I would come home and he'd have three legs all wrapped up in that cable. And I think to myself, how did you do this? And I would literally have to undo the thing and undo it. And you know what? I didn't ever come home and find Dodge and all tangled up in all of those weeds, tangled up in the chain and go, serves you right, buddy. You know why? Because I knew he couldn't get himself loose.
Right.
I knew there was nothing he could do on his own to get himself out of that. It had to be me who had to do something.
Yep.
And I'm so thankful that we have a Savior who looked down in heaven and saw our horrible, miserable condition and said, you know what? I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to go and I'm going to die on the cross for them so that they can have salvation.
Amen.
He left the glory of heaven. You know, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time picturing what heaven's going to be like.
Yes, sir.
I mean, there's a lot of likes and asses and comparisons that I have a hard time picturing. One pearl gate. I can't picture that. A gate made out of gold refined to like clear glass.
Right.
I've never seen that.
Right.
I have no idea how to even visualize a foundation made of stone. I can't visualize that. But it sounds pretty amazing.
Amen.
And Jesus left that for me. For me, you know, as a preacher preached last night, he preached on John 3:16. And when my son Alden was born, I was supposed to get my master's degree that night. Instead, we went to the hospital. I put on a cap and gown. It was just surgical cap and gown instead of the graduation one. And I went in there, and he was born by C-section. I was in the OR with my wife as he was born, and because she couldn't hold him first, they said, "Here you go, Daddy." And they put Alden in my arms. I held him in my arms the first time. And I looked down at that boy. He was the most precious thing I've ever held.
Yes, sir.
And I thought to myself, there's no way I'd let anybody die. Because as soon as I held him, the Holy Spirit brought John 3:16 to my mind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I thought to myself, I would never give up anything for that son. I wouldn't let him die for anybody.
Right.
Even if I liked him. Amen? But you know, the Bible says that that's not where we were when Christ came to die for us. We weren't people He liked.
Right.
We weren't His friends.
That's right.
The Bible says that while we were enemies with God,
that's right,
He loved us. Think about that for a second.
Amen.
He saw the suffering. He understood the suffering.
Yes, sir.
And He was moved with compassion.
Amen.
You know, as we go out this week into the world, we're going to see a world that's hurting. Yes. We're going to see the suffering this week. We're going to understand the suffering because, friend, you and I would be there if it wasn't for the grace of Jesus
right.
Christ in our life. You know what? We have a chance to do something about the suffering. Because, friend, this Bible, as I said when I started, is the answer for everything we have to do in this life.
Right.
And this Bible tells about the Savior that came so that I could have forgiveness for my sin, so that I could have salvation. And you know what? It tells everybody else how they can, too.
Right.
My job to go tell. You ever stop and think about that? God could have used all kinds of things. The Bible says that when His triumphal entry into Jerusalem was happening, if the people had been quiet, the rocks would have cried out. God could have had the rocks tell people about Jesus Christ, but that's not what He did. He decided to use an old sinner like you and I
right.
to tell another sinner how they could get saved.
Amen.
That's what the gospel is. Telling somebody how they can have the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes their life.
Amen.
Friend, we need to be moved with compassion. Let's not just go out and see the suffering. Let's not just go out and understand the suffering. But let's be moved to do something about it.
Amen.
Amen.